You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Is the student debt in America an economic bubble that may explode with the impact of a $1.16 trillion bomb? Well, this week, 15 students who took out loans to attend a number of for-profit institutions owned by Corinthian colleges in California announced they are going on a debt strike.
Wall Street has rigged the system against us.
The debts we have are not legitimate.
We shouldn't be forced into debt to cover basic needs like health care, housing, and education.
Their action, which is being led by a New York-based national group called the Debt Collective, is a statement specifically against the practices of Corinthian, which they say uses dubious legal and ethical techniques to attract students to its colleges, and those techniques have been challenged in court. But they're also making a broader statement about student debt across the board and its impact on the economy. Ann Larson is an organizer with the Debt Collective. Welcome.
Hi.
What do you think this particular 15-student case is all about? Is it a trigger for something much bigger, potentially?
Well, these 15 students attended a for-profit university owned by Corinthian, and they were led into a debt trap. And so they owe thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars in some cases, for a degree that didn't lead to a job, for an education that was substandard. And this institution is well known for preying on people who are low income, for single mothers, people who have a lot of support networks in their lives and are looking for a way to improve their circumstances. So this predatory institution marketed themselves to these students, got them into all this debt, and now they can't repay. That school is now being sued by the federal government and several state agencies, and our argument is that their student debt should be completely canceled. There's a $1.3 trillion student debt problem in the United States. These students are sort of on the leading edge of taking the offense and saying we need to do something about this, and we're not going to wait for policy leaders or elected officials to do the right thing. We are going to demand justice.
Now, my presumption is that Corinthian would say, no, we're just a school that's offering a service, and these students understood what they were in for. How would you say the Corinthian case, and we don't need to critique Corinthian particularly, reflects a general pattern where the environment of available credit produces a lot of very opportunistic lenders out there?
Well, Corinthian is basically funded by the public. 90% of their revenue comes from tax dollars. They are reliant on the federal student loan program. So for over two decades, they took money from public source, student loans, and they used it to enrich themselves, enrich investors. And then the students were left holding the bag at the end of the day. So what we see in the for-profit sector is really not that different in some ways than in higher education more generally, because public colleges, their budgets are being cut. We now know that student tuition makes up more of the cost of attending college than public sources did a few years ago. So more of the burden of attending college is falling on individuals and on families. So what's happening in the for-profit sector is really a harbinger of things to come in public higher education.
So the inflation that's going on in higher education, mm-hmm. Because public sources are not available
right.
anymore, and endowments
right.
are possibly challenged in some way. Mm-hmm. It means that debt is the place where the money's
coming.
So
more and more for middle and working class families, going into debt is the only way to get a college education. And it didn't used to be that way, and it certainly doesn't have to be that way. It's a matter of priorities of how we want to fund higher education in America. And we've gotten into this mindset where it seems perfectly acceptable to spend tens of thousands of dollars and go into decades of debt to get a college degree. And we really need to start rethinking that system.
It's a competitive business. It's a service that's highly valued by people all over the world. The counterargument would be, look, you know, this is the growth of the business. And this is just exactly what happens mm-hmm. in a situation where you're really, really successful.
Well, who was successful in this case? A few investors. The Department of Education makes a lot of money servicing student loans. The students here are left with nothing. They are worse off than when they began. I mean, let's think about that for a minute, that in America, you could go to college, do what you're supposed to do, follow the rules, and you end up being worse off.
Now, you're making an argument of fairness, but Janet Yellen of the Federal Reserve would make an argument that, in fact, if all those millennials with graduate degrees – with all that debt are unable to enter the economy and buy homes, then that is going to affect everybody. Do you believe that this debt overhang is a huge economic bubble waiting to burst?
Well, sure. It seems, you know, the people who have a lot of student debt, we know, don't buy houses. They don't buy cars. They're very slow to start their own families. And that's a problem. I mean, it's undeniable. But I think the other issue here is that this is really a moral and ethical question also, not just purely economic. Is it right to allow young people just starting out in life to take on more debt than they can ever repay, to put them in a situation where they cannot get a job with the credential that they have, and just allow them to be sucked dry by investors, by the Department of Education, and by their school? Is that the kind of society we want to have?
And let's just look at the question for an advocate of how leveraged some of these institutions are. If a lot more than just 15 people were to take into their own hands the matter of their student debt and strike, mm-hmm. How much leverage do students have in forcing banks to change their tactics and schools to change their tactics?
I think they could have a lot of leverage. $1 trillion, you know, we have a saying on our website that if you owe the bank $1,000, the bank owns you. But if you owe the bank $1 trillion, then you own the bank.
Well, what do you say to the student who says, well, you know, that's all very fine and good for you to make that sort of manifesto argument, but if you don't win, then my credit rating is ruined if I join your debt collective?
Sure. There are risks, absolutely, not paying your debt. We wouldn't say anyone should do that on their own. That's why we're trying to form unions and collectivities and communities so people can support each other. It's a scary thing. There are very serious consequences. That's one of the things we're trying to make the public aware of, that not paying your student debt has serious costs, and that's why we need to do it in a planned way and as a union and together, and we need to be negotiating with creditors and lenders and telling them what our demands are.
Ann Larson is an organizer with the Debt Collective. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. So what will all those cautious, nervous millennials do now? Probably not go into plastics, as was suggested for a previous generation of young college graduates. Fed Chair Janet Yellen, as we've heard, believes this is a big issue.
We're just beginning to understand how the millennials are behaving.
My student loan payments are now the equivalent of a mortgage payment, and it would benefit the U.S. economy a lot more for me to spend that money on goods and resources or a house payment instead of that money going to government student loans and interest rates that are higher than what most banks pay.
They have a lot of student debt. They seem, you know, quite worried about housing as an investment. They've had a tough time in the job market.
Fed Chair Janet Yellen feels your pain out in Ambler, Pennsylvania. At a time of historically low interest rates, the fact that I can't refinance my school debt to a lower rate like I did with my mortgage is a national embarrassment. I should have the same ability to take advantage of those rates as any one of the behemoth corporate banks that do so on a daily basis. So, raise your hands now. Who would be a part of the student debt strike?
Hi, this is Randy. I'm calling from Yankton, Oregon. And yes, indeed, I would advocate for that strike. But I would go further and call for a strike on paying any taxes. When huge, profitable companies are allowed to set up their corporate headquarters offshore so that they are immune from paying a fair share of taxes, along with the wealthiest Americans who receive profound tax breaks, while the burden of keeping this country rolling and, by the way, keeping paychecks and other benefits rolling right into the coffers of our illustrious leaders who are working so hard on our behalf falls on the shoulders of working class Americans, I say stop.
Read Randy's lips there. No more taxes at all, period. None. Forget it. As far as a student debt strike is concerned, Detroit, Michigan says, yes, it's overwhelming to me. Newton, New Jersey, yes, because I have $45,000 in loans and my career as a therapist is contributing to society, but society isn't helping me.
I would take part in a strike because federal student loan programs will not accept what you're able to pay, only the figure that they choose as the minimum allowed. In my case, they want $673 per month, not the $375 to $400 I am willing and able to pay. Therefore, I am forever in forbearance, which negatively affects all parties, current debtors, future borrowers, and the federal government.
Thanks to Adele Ashley there from Los Angeles. But not so fast, says Del Rio, Texas. As much as I agree with the systemic issues in play, I signed a contract for my loans, and unfortunately, I'm more frightened by the long-term implications of defaulting than by paying almost all my income to debt for now. We agreed to it.
Hi, this is Alex from Miami. I think higher education should be more affordable in America. Actually, probably should be free. However, I took on my student debt knowing that I would have to pay it back. For that reasoning, I picked a field of study, engineering, in which high-paying jobs were in demand. That being said, I understand the anger many feel when they see banks, businesses, and others absolved from massive debts, while there's no such provision for student loan debt. This is something we need to think about.
Kim from Delray Beach, Florida. No, we all need to take responsibility for our choices. I would support no interest loans, but a loan is a loan. It's an unfortunate fact that the rich in this country can afford the best health care and pay for their offspring's college. I'm not sure how to even the playing field, but I do know that my kids are paying back their loans and have good jobs too.
Hi, this is Larry Fisher from Brooklyn, New York. You can't agree to a contract and then back out of it just because you don't like it. Even if it wasn't a fair deal, just finish the deal and try not to do anything else like that in the future.
Students in debt, do you go on strike or do you pay back those loans? We'd love to hear from you. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org or just tweet us at thetakeaway.com.